Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. This show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org as well as republicreview.org. And this show is still all about academic-based solutions because we provide the academic evidence that this Republic Review is the only solution. You couldn't see this, so I had to tell you what it was. Anyway, the marketing show that we kicked off yesterday really didn't get started because I started on a rant, but I'll get into that a little bit more. We will be updating the Red State Talk Radio page on our website on reclaimingtherepublic.org. That way you can stay apprised with what is coming up regarding the marketing shows. And as a matter of fact, I stopped labeling or identifying what each show is and what we talk about just due to the fact that it's just hard enough for me to stay on top of everything. I mean, it would be great if I had some funding that could actually pay for that type of maintenance, but getting somebody to do that, I mean, not that labor shouldn't be compensated, but if you look at the cost of what it takes to just get some basic stuff done today, it's I'm absolutely shocked. I mean, landscapers want to make more than nurses. I mean, there's lots of people in what we'd call a skilled profession, but not an educated profession. Not that nursing isn't skilled, but there are lots of people that are working in those types of professions that are making more money than nurses. And as a matter of fact, I realize that there is a tie between the nurses' union and food services. And I'm going, you got to be kidding me. So no wonder the ball is kept so low. You know, when you go to a hospital, you don't want a plumber to come in and fix your pipes, or you don't want a plumber to try to tap into your IV. You want somebody that actually, and as a matter of fact, if you've ever had somebody that is, you know, not very well skilled, like a CNA or even some nurses with the basic education, not a BS or what have you, but they're qualified as a registered nurse. If they start missing your vein, I mean, let me get a doctor in here, somebody that can do this, because people just don't like being poked, not especially not the failing type. And anyway, so back to me and back to this show, it is difficult to get that type of help, which I would consider a reasonable, you know, wage or compensation to pay somebody to do that. So anyway, you're stuck with the one-man show until we actually get more funding to cover those types of costs. But anywho, we do want to plug the fact that we need to start plugging or planting seeds for Constitution Day and, you know, getting the constitutional events, you know, started and these ideas, these brainchilds actually passed around. If you have patriots that you associate with in your local area, you're a part of a Tea Party, you're a part of the Republican Party, you should be having a conversation. As a matter of fact, what really kills me is the Republican Party spends a lot of time and effort on celebrating Lincoln Day dinners when Lincoln was probably just one of the baddest or worst presidents that we had as a Republican, at least since him. If you understand the Republican Party, folks, I'm just telling you, if you read Jefferson's first inaugural address, he was the first Republican president. The party was started by Madison, and it was the Republican Party. If you read his inaugural address, he doesn't say we're all Democratic Republicans. He says we're all Republicans, we're all Federalists. Madison created the Republican Party. Jefferson used a little bit of flair to to help describe the Republican Party by calling it the Democratic Republican Party. But the real name of the party was Republicans. These were Republicans. And when you read their writings, they don't talk about Democrats. They say the Republicans, you know, are, you know, the Republicans have won these elections. The Republicans have been doing this. And the Republicans ended up falling out of favor shortly after Monroe basically monopolized the Republican Party as the only party in the United States, because the Democratic Party that was started by Martin Van Buren and Andrew Jackson, they were the ones that actually, unseated the control that the Republicans had. And if you understand the difference between Republicans then and Republicans of Lincoln's time, Republicans from Monroe and before were limited and defined government. And from Lincoln on, it has been big government. That's when the establishment really started, or that's when the party was really taken over, because some of the shenanigans that they did in backroom deals and so forth is what's caused a lot of these little movements like the Sovereign Citizen Movement. But anyway, see, I go down these rants and I start talking about information that most people don't know, and I want to share this with you. But I do have an itinerary, and I've got these bullets here, so let me kind of stick to the plan. And so anyway, what we want to do is we want to just basically, let you know, because it is a marketing day. We're going to be covering the ratification debates coming up, and we're going to just try to cover some basics on basic preparedness and preparations for just fundamental things that happen on a regular basis, but not necessarily the catastrophic end of the world type of preparedness, because it's at least better to have something than nothing at all. Because what do they say? It's better to have than It's better to have than want, and than need and not have, something like that. Anyway, I shouldn't be coming up with adages, just off the cuff like that, because 9 times out of 10, as you get older, you just kind of screw it up. And I'll never forget when Bush off the cuff, started talking about you won't get fooled again. And he goes, you fool us once, shame on me. You fool us twice, and we won't get fooled again. Anyway, so that's what happens when you really start getting off of script and so forth. There are ways you can support us, but what we want to do is we want to plug Red State Coffee. If you have progressives, you have progressives of your friends, when they come over and you want to have a coffee hour or whatever, serve them Red State Coffee and thank them for helping you consume this great product that supports such a great cause. I would also ask you to call in 425-270-5416 and let us know what you think of Red State Coffee. We would love to put your voice into a promo, basically speaking to, what you think about Red State Coffee. So let us know what you think. We also have the GoFundMe campaign. And more importantly, we hope that this year you decide, because it's a big election year, there's a lot of seats that are open. We hope that you choose to actually step up and replace the rhino that may be representing you. Now is the time to start building that. As a matter of fact, I've already got the layout of the primaries, and there's primaries that are happening very soon. And so I'm hoping that if you're in a state that has primaries coming up, you've already either aligned yourself or you at least start working together to find somebody to really be a solid challenger for rhinos. Because the whole point of my rant yesterday was trying to get to a point where we can hold politicians accountable, right? I mean, my rant yesterday was all about politicians and, how can we control them? Well, we have this thing called the oath of office. Every politician has to raise their arm to the square. Even judges have to raise their arm to the square and affirm and or swear that they will support the Constitution over all other things. So we have problems at the national level of people doing this, and that's why I started talking about our representative, Kathy McMorris Rogers, who is a full-fledged rhino. She has to file down that horn in her forehead, constantly because, you know, she sure seems to fool a lot of people that she's not a rhino, but we in her district are very well aware. And so we need to find somebody that actually has the commitment to the Constitution. That's what we want. We want representatives that are going to support the Constitution. I don't give a rat's butt or behind about somebody that's sending unconstitutional money to their districts. If your liberties are for sale, then you take that money. But our liberties aren't for sale. We do not want politicians in Washington, D.C. being corrupted and sending money back to their districts, to the different counties and providing, because I'm going to tell you this right now, that money comes with strings. And if you really want to unleash the economy in your local area, get those strings cut, turn off the money, turn off the regulations, and allow these counties and states to start to flourish by harvesting your lumber, by harvesting your minerals. The Western states have so many vast resources that could literally change and create even a bigger boon in the economy in the world. I mean, the United States could literally take off economically. But as you can tell, we're at a hard break, so we're going to be right back after these two promos. So please stay tuned. And we will get back into the constitutions and some of the things I'm advocating. We'll be right back. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
And I just want to prove something to you, because the compliance to the Constitution is, and if you've been listening to the show, you understand it is our greatest problem. As a matter of fact, put a blindfold on and grab a ball, grab a small object, make it an object that can't break anything. But spin around in the room that you're in right now and then just throw the ball in any direction. I don't care. It can be straight up. It can be straight down. It can be, you know, oblique, straightforward. Throw the ball. Whatever that ball hits, if you go and look at the manufacturing of that one product that you just hit with that ball, then you will find that there are federal regulations that are associated with something, somehow, some part of that product. And I am here to tell you that there is no delegated power for the federal government to regulate every facet of our life. So if you start to understand the magnitude of how much and how many of our problems stem from federal regulations and not state regulations, and there's no reason why states can't regulate themselves, but they won't regulate themselves to the point of strangling their own economy. The reason there are certain states that suffer more than others is because they have been strangled so much. The Western states are being killed by federal regulations. And I'm here to tell you that the Constitution doesn't permit it. The fact of the matter is the federal government, the general government, is violating the Constitution because they do not have any delegated power to regulate these things. And so, as you understand and listen to the show, the real solution in getting the federal government back into the bottle, getting the genie back in the bottle, is forcing compliance. And the only way we can do that is to get the states to stand up and demand compliance. If you understand how screwed up the state constitutions are, the source of that, 9 times out of 10, is from the federal government. The only reason your state has, you know, these mandated regulations of EPA and so forth, and they push these, same thing with vaccinations, that all comes from the federal government. Even though there's no national vaccination, you know, group out there that says, you know, where the federal government sets these regulations. No, they've pushed these down to the states, and the states willingly pass regulations that are intended to, you know, force and mandate products and like vaccinations upon you. And as a matter of fact, we'll be talking a little bit about that when we hit the news. But this is why I'm advocating for Republic Review. That is our first priority. And I'm also advocating for calling of counties, for the counties to stand up and demand state constitutional conventions. This is where counties have the opportunity as equals to step into the ring and say, we don't believe you should be ramming down these federal environmental programs and these vaccination mandates. This is where you can start to understand the sovereigns who you have elected in your counties. And, oh, by the way, there may be people that think that your county doesn't have that kind of pull, but according to the Constitution, Article 4, Section 4, every state is supposed to be Republican in form. In other words, your county is supposed to have representation, and it is not getting any representation. It is the people that are being smeared across at the advantage of the population centers. If Trump and the Republicans win in 2020, this is our last shot to force a Republican form of government. This will be our last shot of being able to reel in and saving these constitutions. Because I'm here to tell you, folks, we're dying off. If you have gray hair like me, you're in the same boat. We're going to die soon. And our kids or our grandchildren and great-grandchildren are learning to surrender their liberties because they are far better served. If we, the baby boomers, are not going to step up and do, you know, an answer to the call of liberty, then we are doomed to fail. So more importantly, as you understand, we have to start working on initiating Republic Review. That's why I'm mailing these postcards on Monday out to our good friends and Republic Review supporters in Wyoming. I'm just here to tell you, my friends, that if you understand the many regulations and constrictions that are coming from unconstitutional laws, regulations and statutes from the federal government, then you can understand that our problems are really tied to noncompliance to our constitutions, period. You know, most every state has a line or a clause in it that says the U.S. Constitution is the supreme law of the land. Well, then we are supposed to be enforcing the Constitution, not the federal government. That's why I've been going, and I don't want to say, you know, going on these tirades, but that's why I've really been emphasizing the importance of what real patriotism is. Patriotism is not supporting the federal government. It's not supporting red, white, and blue. It's not supporting the flag. It's not supporting the military. It is supporting the Constitution, which everyone in the military takes an oath to support as well, which everyone in public service takes an oath to support as well, which every American citizen who is born here is born into the obligation and responsibility to support and defend the Constitution. It is the oath of the citizen. Anyway, so let's just get into some marketing, because I know I've kind of ran this into ground, and I just don't want to go back over, repeat, become redundant, because I know there's lots of times I cover these topics, and I'm hoping that you start understanding the importance, and maybe this is an opportunity for you to help us grow this show so that this message and this common sense can start sinking into other people. People need to abandon their little pet peeves about abortion, about immigration, about gun control, about all these different things, and start to understand it is all about compliance to the Constitution. Now, here's some good news. I've got some really good news for you. Hillary Clinton is no longer eligible to become president as of today, or at least as of the last day or two, because she has just received an emolument of status as she has been appointed as the new chancellor of the Queen's University Belfast. Interesting, huh? How many of you are these the huge Disney conglomerate fans of Marvel? Are you one of those real Marvel lovers? Well, Marvel is going to ram down your throat a big insult, because they've now sexualized superhero comics and so forth. And because who's the guy, Jack Lee, or the guy that was the mind behind all the Marvel comics? Well, now that he's dead and is no longer keeping the sexual agenda of Disney and sexualizing America, now that he's dead and they've passed the baton to the progressives who have been, you know, waiting, licking their chops to be able to take over, Marvel is now going to be introducing us to transgendered superhero. And I'm guaranteeing you that sexualizing Marvel is the path forward, because, you know, that's the agenda. And so anybody that is out buying this crap and supporting this, well, you're getting your money's worth, I hope. So anyway, let me get into some G. Edward Griffin's need-to-know news. And here is a bombshell article. G. Edward Griffin reports that while illegal aliens account for 300,000 anchor babies born in the U.S. each year. Okay, so what is that? What is 300,000? Well, that's one-tenth of the population is being replaced by illegal alien anchor babies. But to add to that, the U.S. each year, research by the Center of Immigration Studies shows that an additional 7,200, not, I just said 100, 72,000 anchor babies are born to foreigners who are living in the United States legally, yet temporarily, every year. So what this means is they're living here legally, but they are not subject to the laws of the United States. In other words, they can be kicked out. They're here with a work visa or what have you. So they're not subject to the United States. They are still subjects to a foreign nation because they have not become U.S. citizens. And these 72,000 anchor babies that are being here, born here every year, they're absolutely receiving U.S. citizenship when they shouldn't. An estimated 39,000 anchor babies are born to foreign students and foreign visa workers, in addition to the 33,000 anchor babies born to foreign tourists every year. And you know that's a scam, because that's been exposed, how China just rents these apartments where they fly over pregnant women and bring them over in their last term or what have you, let them spend their time here. They have the baby becomes a U.S. citizen, and then they go back or they stay here. There are really evil countries like China, Mexico, and so forth that are contributing to the overthrow and the undermining of our Constitution. And this is all being funded by you and me because we have this thing called the entitlement state where you're entitled, if you're a human being, you're going to get, you know, X amount of dollars, refugees and so forth. I mean, this is a real problem, folks, and this is a bombshell that you need. If we're going to change this country, we have to start changing the paradigm back into the real interpretations, not even interpretations, the real designs of the Constitution. We can drill into those things because we have all the data. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so back to this anchor baby issue, because now that we've got the break behind us, I didn't want to get into this, but I've gone through the 14th Amendment several times. And that line, subject to, or those two words are the critical key words. If the parent is not subject to the United States government, they're on a holiday, they're, you know, up here as a migrant worker, just, you know, to work and then to go back. In other words, they are still subjects to a foreign country. Then they are not eligible, nor are their children eligible, because their children, there's nowhere in there that if you're born of non-subjects, but you happen to be just born on our soil, it does not say that in the 14th Amendment. So G. Edward Griffin goes on to say that the United States Supreme Court has never explicitly ruled that the U.S.-born children of illegal aliens must be granted automatic American citizenship, and a number of legal scholars dispute mandatory birthright citizenship. Here's the point, though, that I don't think G. Edward Griffin gets. is it's not up to the Supreme Court to decide this. And I say that because all the evidence is present in the debates of what the language meant of the 14th Amendment. We don't need interpretation. It is very clear that the intent of the 14th Amendment was to ensure that every slave who was born here and subject to the laws of the land, because they were considered property of the land, those folks were entitled to citizenship. The freemen became citizens because of the 14th Amendment. It did not allow people to just be able to come into our nation and, you know, have a baby and then be able to create an anchor so that they would have a path to citizenship. There are now an unprecedented 62 million immigrants and their U.S.-born children living across the U.S. that represent about 1 in 5 residents in America. President Trump has come out publicly and signaled that he has reviewed signing an executive order to end birthright citizenship, otherwise known as the Anchor Baby Policy, but has yet to take any action. What, is he waiting to throw that out as a campaign promise? Why isn't this just being done? Because as the president, he has the responsibility to faithfully execute the laws of the land, and he can clearly state by using academic references, pointing to the debates in Congress and the debates in the states where there was never any language to allow immigrants for whatever purpose, people that were not subject to the United States government because they were not citizens, and their children or babies would not be considered U.S. citizens. It seems to me that politicians are good at making campaign promises, but they always fall short on delivering. And what ends up happening is when they do deliver, it isn't the same. Just like, you know, getting rid of NAFTA, now we have the USMCA. It's not being constitutionally managed. It's not being treated as a treaty. It's being treated as an act, an agreement. And are you kidding me? This is an agreement between foreign countries. This should be a treaty, and it should be forced to be ratified by 2/3 of the Senate. But we don't do that anymore. And that's how we're undermining the Constitution. Here's the problem with the presidential legislation, and the next president can change things back. So in other words, when President Trump uses an executive order, as he has repealed a lot of Obama's executive orders, his executive orders can equally be repealed. We are not a monarchy. We're a constitutional republic, and we function based on the delegated powers within that constitution. We must demand compliance to that constitution and force Congress to do their job and or remove them because they are not supporting the constitution. That's why we have Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, to be able to remove and replace and ban for life any politician who fails to support the Constitution, which they take a legally binding oath to do. People don't understand. What is perjury? So what? We all kind of, you know, don't tell the full truth. Are you kidding? Perjury was, that was back in the days of honor. You just wouldn't do that. You wouldn't lie. You wouldn't impugn your character and your integrity yourself by lying. And as a matter of fact, people would defend that, and that's why we had these things called duels and honor fights and so forth. G. Edward Griffin reports in another story, Tucker Carlson slammed the Heritage Foundation and other so-called conservative organizations funded by the Koch family, and their network that actively helped to thwart the abolition of censorship of conservatives by Google, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. So I'm not sure if you're a fan of Tucker Carlson, but he does expose these things. That's one of the reasons why, you know, he's probably the only character out there that I really enjoy listening to and watching, because he's not playing, kind of like the back in the days when Glenn Beck was on Fox. That's when Glenn Beck, I think, was rising to his popularity, because he wasn't catering to the agenda. He was actually exposing the agenda. A former Koch employee revealed that the Koch organizations received money from big tech to protect the media giants from oversight. Carlson said that Google has given money to at least 22 right-leaning Koch-funded institutions, including Americans for Prosperity, the American Conservative Union, and the American Enterprise Institute, the National Review Institute, the Competitive Enterprise Institute, the Heritage Foundation, and the Mercatus Center. A recent poll showed that 42% of the public, not just conservatives, agreed that Trump should take action to push back against big tech's biases. And so that 42%, that's not a majority. That's unfortunate because there are that many people that think that we should start surrendering our freedoms of speech and expression to, you know, political correctness and what they think might be hate speech or harmful speech. Folks, it's getting worse. It is getting worse. And here is something that lawmakers give you. And so I just want you to kind of get this, you know, get your arms wrapped around this because we cover this all the time. In Iowa, a gentleman by the name of Adolfo, and this is by G. Edward Griffin again, Adolfo Martinez, 30, was sentenced to more than 15 years in prison for a hate crime after lighting a local church's LGBTQ flag on fire. The maximum sentence for the hate crime was 5 years, but extra time was added because he was a repeat offender. He was also sentenced to 1 year in prison for reckless use of fire and was sentenced to another 30 days for harassment. They threw the book at this guy. And we actually watched them burn our flag of the United States, tear down the U.S. flag from somebody's building or edifice and burn it. And yet there's no crime. There is no punishment. There's no trial. But this is hate speech because he burned the LGBTQ flag. Are you kidding me? This is what politicians give you. This happened in Iowa. This is a red state. If you live in Iowa, if you live in a red state, you better start really examining what the heck is going on because these SOGI laws, sexual orientation, I forget what the GI stood for, but it's all about protecting speech and protecting, gender identity. Sexual orientation and gender identity laws are out to actually criminalize freedom of speech and expression. Are you kidding? Madison and Jefferson actually fought that. Now we're at the precipice, my folks, of surrendering of some of our fundamental liberties. We're seeing the Second Amendment rights being taken down. Where in Virginia, they want to actually take guns. Completely unconstitutional. If you read my article on Reclaiming the Republic, the Constitutional Perspective page, we completely shoot down this whole concept that we're not supposed to have guns. As a matter of fact, we're obligated and responsible to have guns to enforce the federal laws. Read the article. Get informed. But it's the same thing with, you know, coming after our speech. They've been coming after our religious expression. What part of the Constitution and Bill of Rights is going to be sacred enough for you to take a stand and actually demand compliance to the Constitution? What is it going to take? We're at that point, my friends, where people who are committing violent crimes are being let out after bookings in many big cities across the country, and the crime of expressing oneself, such as burning a homosexual flag, a rainbow flag, is convicted to 15 years? You know, there's only one way to face and to confront this, and that's with Republic Review. If you believe that hate laws have to go, then we have to stand up for the Constitution because they violate the fundamental liberties that we are endowed by. This goes back to the Declaration of Independence. This goes back to our Bill of Rights and our First Amendment. And we are watching these rights being torn and destroyed in front of our very eyes. What is it going to take to get you to actually take a stand for our liberties, for our Constitution, for this Constitution Republic? But with that, as you can tell, we're at a hard break. We will be right back after these two promos with some more G. Edward Griffin Need to Know News. Thanks so much.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Wow, you know, I just realized during that break that my rant, because I had no design to talk about nurses, labor, and everything else, but that's how we go down these rat holes or how easily we sidetrack ourselves. My thing I was going to say, because I didn't have a bullet on it, because it's just a part of the 2nd of January that we celebrate, the Tory Acts. And I'm here to tell you that if you've listened to the show, you understand the significance of the Tory Acts. It gives you the paradigm of the framers of the time. If you think that they were all about the freedom of expression, and they were all about, you know, tolerance and accepting anybody else's points of view, you need to read and understand the Tory Acts, because they made it law that anybody who supported the Crown and Britain in any way, or were considered loyalists and believed that that was the best way to go, those people were identified, especially those with affluence, anybody that actually had money that actually supported, provided, quartered the British troops, over 60,000 people, I think it was like 100,000, somewhere in there, over 60,000 people were deported as loyalists, and all of their property was confiscated. So there's these people that say, hey, you know, asset forfeiture is unconstitutional. You may want to actually think about, you know, what is it that, you know, we consider that line? Because the framers had a line. If you didn't support individual liberty and individual sovereignty, it's one thing if you're got a speeding ticket, you commit a crime or something like that. Asset forfeiture is immoral. But if you are somebody that is, you know, bent on taking away the individual liberty and individual sovereignty of any American and want to subjugate us to socialism and communism as we see our politicians doing today, they should be kicked out. They should be banished from the United States, and their property should be seized, because they are trying to undermine our very liberties and our the essence of our constitutional republic. they are true enemies of the state. And so happy Tory Act Day. Anyway, we had just finished and wrapped up talking about hate laws and how we need to get back to compliance with the Constitution. Well, G. Edward Griffin has this report that police reported that a FedEx driver, this is just regarding our, you know, this concept of letting criminals out and having this concept of, well, we're basically going to be sheep because they're letting the wolves live among us. And so I believe this happened in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, somewhere. Police reported that a FedEx driver suffered a gunshot wound to the stomach before he pulled out his own gun and killed the armed robber who attacked him. Before he shot the driver, the robber stole multiple packages from the FedEx truck. Now, obviously, this probably happened just before Christmas. He was later found unconscious in an alley clutching the packages he had stolen. Investigators took one man into custody after he was spotted standing near a vehicle the police said may have been used to drive the suspect away from the scene as the interior of the car was smeared with blood. G. Edward Griffin also reports that Republican Senator Rand Paul has an annual tradition of revealing how much money the United States government wastes in what he calls festivus airing of grievances. Senator Paul, and I love that. As a matter of fact, I remember work. We used to celebrate Festivus, and you know, we'd have desserts and so forth, where we could, you know, air our grievances. But we never really took the full Seinfeld tone of Festivus. But anyway, Senator Paul unleashed a tweet storm linking to his waste report that accuses the United States government of squandering over $50 billion in 2019 on outrageous programs. Some of the spending included $500,000 on studying frog mating calls in Panama, $1.2 million on the studying of habits of online dating app users, tens of millions spent green growth for Peru, $22 million spent on bringing Siberian cheese up to international standards, and more. Paul wrote, these are only a few examples, but you get the idea. But we couldn't possibly cut spending, right? No waste here. No, sir. Love the sardonic tone. And my folks, my friends and folks, I hope you're getting this, that it's not just this wasteful spending. It is the unconstitutional spending. I wish Rand Paul would be very succinct and say, show me in the Constitution where we have delegated the powers to the federal government to give money to frog mating calls in Panama or to appropriate money for the habits of online dating app users, or millions to bringing the Siberian cheese products up to international standards. And I can go on and actually get into, you know, things he doesn't say, such as how many billions of dollars are we squandering on the unconstitutional spending of money for education? How many billions of dollars are we squandering on the unconstitutional spending for healthcare, labor? I can go on and on and on. The federal government has no constitutional right to take money from us and spend it on things that we have not delegated those powers to them. But it's so easy to do now because nobody even realizes that they can't assume any role, responsibility, and power without going through an Article 5 process. In other words, amending the Constitution. They just do it and nobody even bats an eye. That's where the frog is in the boiling water. It's just about ready to serve. It's almost time to serve the frog, folks. Are you ready? I hope so. G. Edward Griffin also reports, This is a shocking indictment in the corruption of the world regarding child trafficking. A Romanian court upheld the acquittals of a gang of 25 men who were accused of child trafficking across Europe and were arrested in London in 2010. The case, and they were arrested in London and tried in Romania. Okay? I'm scratching my head on this one. The case, and there's no doubt in my mind that these men, because they fell underneath the EU at the time, they were able to move this from a London court to probably one of the most corrupt courts in the EU, so that they knew that they could get their acquittals. Anyway, the case centered on the trafficking and exploiting of more than 160 children. Human rights groups are upset that all of the suspects have been definitively cleared of charges of child trafficking, laundering, creating a criminal group, and violating the arms law. You see, folks? See what's happening? It's not just happening in America where they're unleashing criminals and those who prey on the most vulnerable in our society, our children. Are you kidding? It's a rampant problem, and the paradigm is shifting. When you finally realize that the sands have shifted and that the riptide is going to pull you out to sea, it's too late, folks. We need to wake up now. Oh, how about a deep state holiday, right? Because I did neglect to celebrate or mention Kwanzaa, and not that I'm, you know, biased in any way. I am very forthright with my racism. I only had, and it was ingrained in me, that we hated Russians. The only race that I actually hate, because of the Cold War, my time in the Marine Corps, and I'm actually overcoming this, but it's very difficult to overcome those deep-seated and ingrained values that you have that, you know, I used to hate Russians. I don't anymore, at least not carte blanche like I used to. I mean, I was just steeped. My wife pointed this out, but I don't hate any other race. And so it's not that I hated Kwanzaa because of racial reasons or anything else. I recognized it for what it was. And so Ann Coulter is the one that's actually done a really good job in exposing this. So G. Edward Griffin basically points out how Ann Coulter states that Kwanzaa is a fake holiday that was created in 1966 by Ronald Everett, a.k.a. Mulana Karinga, a black radical who founded the United Slaves Organization that did the bidding of the FBI. During the madness of the 60s, the FBI created a controlled opposition, kind of like the John Birch Society, at least that's what I'm asserting, by supporting the most extreme black nationalist organizations. Well, I don't have time to finish this story, so in our next episode, I will finish this story because it's worth getting into, because you need to understand what these controlled oppositions are. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we will be back. God bless. And we need your help, too. God bless.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.